Good evening and welcome to El Oso Fumar Takes. This is our 58th take live from the Casa Cueva studios of Euless, Texas. I'm your host, Barry Duplessis, as always, and I am so pleased to have all of you guys watching tonight. This is a fantastic take. We did have a break last week, so I appreciate everyone who decided to, keep their patience intact and wait for this highly anticipated take. I was really excited and I was chomping at the bit myself through my week off to get to this day so that I could have this opportunity to sit down with this gentleman here. I'm so excited to welcome in for our 58th take here, Mr. Robert Holt of Southern Draw Cigars. Robert, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Doing well. Thank you for including me. Take number 58. Took us a little while, but we're here. We're ready to go.
I can't believe I've done 58 of these things. I got to be honest, man. It's every day, every week the number climbs higher and higher, and I'm just like, man, I remember doing the first one, and it literally seems like yesterday. But
who was the first one? Who was your first guest?
Tim Wong of Pier 28 Cigars. Okay. So, and I did a bunch of them together at La Zona Palooza, not this past year, but the year before. So I had, a bunch of Espinosa guys. I had Tim Wong was my number one take. Then the general, the director of sales at the time for Espinosa was Fernando Zacharias. Then I had Hector Alfonso, and then their son Eric Jr. For the shortest take, he was actually sick that week, and I think it was like a whopping 3 minutes was take number four, the mystery take. But we had him on again just a few weeks ago, actually, and so we made up for lost time in that first go around. So it was fantastic. But welcome, Robert. Really appreciate it. I see that we were talking about this before we went on air. You're actually at home, which apparently is a rarity these days for you. How does it feel back to be in the Lone Star State in your actual home for once?
It is great to be back, and I my wife used to always tell me absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I tell you, there's two things I really miss on the road. I miss my couch and I miss my patio. I like smoking cigars on my own patio, hell or high water, cold or hot. I like sitting out here, and it's kind of recharged my batteries just to be here. So I'm happy to be here and get my laundry clean and drop ashes on my own floor for a little while,
It's really interesting. I've smoked some cigars in some pretty memorable places, and the retail shop that I work at is a home away from home. But there is something oddly special, no matter what it is. If it's the combination of the company or the cigars, but there's just something absolutely wonderful and always memorable about your own patio. I feel like that's true everywhere for most people, and if they don't know that feeling, then they're obviously doing it wrong, Robert, right?
I agree. I kind of on the topic, I think for me it's Sharon and I celebrate 20 years and married next week, 23 years together.
But, oh, congratulations.
We better say that to her. We'll save it. She put up with me, right? But what she and the kids have done over the years is they've come birthday or Father's Day or Christmas, whatever it may be, almost every year they buy me something for the patio, something to make me more comfortable, something to make the lights, look better, more ashtrays, more cushions on the chairs. They just bought me a new chimenea. My birthday was a few weeks ago. So I think the comfort comes from the fact that I know they've given great care to give me a place to relax and enjoy a cigar, and knowing that that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I yell at the TV out here instead of in there for football.
Yeah, it was one of the most kind and heartfelt, amazing gifts I've ever received, actually. And my wife worked on it. My brother worked on it. A lot of my best friends worked on it. My best friend, who I actually brew beer with, he's a home brewer, and I brew beer with him and everything. A few years ago, he built me a bar for my patio. So I have a bar on my backyard. It holds, holds three kegs, of beer. And, there's also a fridge area for just cans and bottles and stuff. And the gift itself was awesome, but the fact that the people that I cared about most actually built it with their own hands and everything, it was just unbelievable gift. I still remember the moment that happened. It was absolutely wonderful, and I look back on that so fondly, and it was absolutely terrific. And my family was in town too, which was mm-hmm. which was equally special. And speaking of family, we talked about this a little bit before the show. My father, Robert, as I told you before, was a U.S. Army veteran. He served in Vietnam, and he raised me in a way to really and genuinely and sincerely appreciate the service of our U.S. Veterans, men and women. For all the armed forces, for this wonderful country of ours. And so would like to say this again. I said it before the show, but I'd like to say it again. I sincerely really appreciate your service as a veteran of our armed forces. But I wanted to ask specifically, and I've asked this to a couple of industry folks, because I think it is interesting and it's fascinating that a lot of people in our industry, the premium cigar industry, are U.S. veterans, and from all different facets. I mean, we're talking reps, we're talking brokers, brand owners like yourself, manufacturers, blenders, they're throughout the industry. I wanted to get your opinion on why do you think that this industry is such a draw, or seems to be such a draw for veterans?
You know, I have my own opinions. And first of all, let me just say, with your opening volley there, it was my honor. I come from a family of military veterans, almost all Army veterans, including my father during the Vietnam era, all of which volunteered, none of which were drafted, all served honorably, also on my wife's side. I always like to acknowledge those people that volunteered, and I really have a special place in my heart for people that were drafted, that served honorably, and did everything they could to serve our country honorably, even though that they didn't put their hand in the air like some of us, right? So we always need to kind of point that out as well. But to your point, I can tell you, I've been out of the Army for 20 years. Again, we do have a lot of veterans. Within the cigar community, what we find is for me, I guess I could have not could have I could have I should have now that I look past Bear filed my disability. I should have taken my disability. I probably should have gotten my therapies and my medical attention and things. But when I came out, I had such an urgency to get out the same way that I went in. Right, I decided to sign a waiver, a medical waiver. I signed a waiver to get out a couple of weeks early, ironically, because it was such a hectic thing to try to clear and to turn in all your gear and go through all your medical checks. And, at the end of it, I was like, it's time to go. If I'm done working, if I'm done contributing and I'm just taking people's time, so you can count all my gear up and, make sure I've got a microfiche. Back in those days, brother, we had microfiche. There were no medical files. It was microfiche. So I'm kind of caught in this generation gap between old and young, I guess. With that, came a necessity for me, a necessity, for my own therapy, a necessity to avoid, the dark places, a necessity to, be in a lower stress environment, a necessity to make a connection with people of like experience, and to be there for people that need a connection or need a relationship, that are definitely, and it doesn't have to be just military. We find people from all walks of life that have had challenges and struggles, brother. But for me, it was a degree of meditation. It was a supplement to everything else in my life, right? So I think there's two things here that contribute the most to talk about why we have so many military veterans, from the factory to the brands, to the reps, to the customers, to the retailers, because it's a combination of those things, right? It is a low stress, brotherhood or sisterhood. It's a great place to connect to people. Sometimes it's a great place just to sit in quiet and enjoy your cigar. But sometimes it's a good place to talk, right? But it's far better than any psychiatrist or psychologist or medical treatment or rehabilitation center or a therapy that I've ever seen. And I'm saying that because I never went back and right, wrong, or indifferent, did anything else in my life other than adopt daily smoking of premium cigars and trying to spend time with people on a daily basis. So that's number one. The other side of my answer would be this. I think the reason why we see so many prior service in and enjoying the cigar industry is I think there's probably more veterans alive today than there ever has been in history. I would imagine, and Skip would know this.
Wow, that's a really point. I never even thought about that. That's probably incredibly true.
I think we've been in conflicts for decades now. We have medical advancements. We have surgical advancements. We have orthopedic advancements. We have advancements across the board that are making people live longer. And I don't always agree that living longer without a quality of life is the best thing. But I think we should factor in that there's probably a cause or a case to be made that there's more veterans alive now than is ever in our history. And as such, the numbers would obviously just increase just pro rata, right? So I think that has a lot to do with it.
You know, it's interesting that, you know, I've gotten that answer quite a bit, that it's the community that kind of really dictated a draw to, kind of dictated a draw to the men and women of the armed forces that have come in. You even threw in a couple of other areas. I even neglected to mention retailers and customers, you know, and I do. I talk to a number of veterans on a weekly basis who are my customers who shop in the retail sector. So that's another great point. And not to be too corny with the segue there, as I said, draw, you know, it kind of leads me into my next question. When you were built, there's a lot of very unique things about Southern Draw, you know, a lot of your terminology, you know, a lot of your mission statement and everything is incredibly unique and kind of, it doesn't buck the status quo to an unnatural state, like where it's just weird and off kilter and off everything like that. But there seems to be a much different philosophy behind the way that you wanted to build this company, Southern Draw, than we've seen in the past or even see currently on the market. When you were kind of putting this all together and building that mission statement, what was something that you wanted to accomplish from day one when you built the cigar company?
You know, first of all, it's not a me. It's not a Robert Holt. There was never a time where this brand was going to be created and introduced in the marketplace without the input and support and efforts of Sharon. That's number one. Number two, because we relied on, we were going through some tough times back then, relied on a lot of family and friends that have, some of which have been now honored within the brand and we've talked about publicly and more to come. We wanted to make sure that what we represented, Bear, was something that everybody believed in and everyone felt comfortable with and everybody would stand behind. So, you know, Southern Draw, I'm literally sitting about 400 yards from where Southern Draw was conceptualized. And, you know, we were a buddy of mine, which is a very talented marketing guy, corporate marketing guy. We literally played around the golf. I'm terrible at golf. He's really good at golf. We had a cold beer and the little beer napkin was sitting there with the Sharpie. And he says, you know, you're going to have a cigar company someday. What would it be? And it was truly a hypothetical. And I literally drew this little triangle that's on my shirt, you know, this little yield sign kind of concept. And I said, Southern Draw, one part, the best of what the South represents, the faith, the family, and the hospitality, and one part draw. And of course it had an L, we took the L off, which was really focused on the little things, the science of a cigar, of really tie it back to a cigar industry. I'm an engineer. Most people know that by trade. We don't know more, we don't know less, you know, whatever it may be. But when it was conceptualized, you wanted it to be both things. You wanted to have the family faith aspect, but you really wanted to be able to focus on the little things and the science of creating a brand that was both consistent and sustainable. So that's really the history, was just kind of putting those things together and sitting down and going, you know, what's our mission? What's our vision? And I do appreciate you bringing that up, because for us, the mission and the message is far more important than the brand or us as individuals will ever be.
You know, I thought that that was something that was really fabulous about your name, the name specifically, and I'm glad you kind of brought that up, Robert, was that there were so many concepts that went into the name Southern Draw, and while it is simply just your name, it can, so many conclusions can be drawn from what you were trying to infer or what you were trying to be about without reading up anything on it. And it's funny, because a lot of what you would think that it comes from is true. And I love how you tie in the science of the cigar along with your own, you know, your culture and heritage in Southern hospitality and everything. I really found that was incredibly unique, that you were able to capture both the technical part of the cigar world and, you know, and another emotional part of it, which is, you know, this business is built about families. You know, some generations deep. Now, yours is not necessarily, but it is about family in so many ways. You know, tying back to my first question about why veterans are drawn to this industry, why do you think that the cigar industry, in your opinion, and why have you decided to make Southern Draw a family affair?
The problem, I think, with is that when we would go an hour or 2 hours and we talked about the past, and let me just be just open and probably more humble. You know, more humble is probably the right word. But, you know, when I got out of the military, we had good fortune. We really did. I went right into big corporate America. I went right into the wireless telecom space before anybody even knew what it was. And I worked with three Fortune 100 companies. I was a young executive. I made tons of money. I kept up with the Joneses, all of the things we never had time and money for, Bear. And in the end, I made some decisions that put those assets at risk, put that lifestyle at risk, and I did it on my own. And it was, as my wife said, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, maybe I got tied up into it a little bit, but, you know, as the good book says, he who exalts himself will be humbled, and it happened. You know, that being said, that humility, that fall, that stumble, from grace, kind of opened our eyes. And what I realized was I can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. I can't trust myself to make the right decisions, whether I justify it internally for the rights of investors or partners, whatever it may be. The reality of it is that the one thing that mattered most was the love and support of my family. And as such, they deserve to have input into. And I say it all the time. You know, I open the show by saying I've been with Sharon 23 years and next week's our 20th anniversary. But I'll be honest, for 17 years, brother, I didn't listen to a word she said. She was there. She was constant. I knew it. And I probably took advantage of it. But for the last 6 years of Southern Draw's existence, her input, her feedback, her daily efforts have been as much part of the success of this company than my own. So why? That's your question. Why family? Because they're family, because they can be trusted, because they'll be with you through the ups and downs. They're not going to take a shovel and bury me out in the corner when I make a mistake. They may curse me and they may not show up for a couple of birthdays or holidays, but brother, they're family, right? And I want to do it for them. You know, I want everybody to feel like they're valued. And I think having that family, and I'm not saying family is always just blood, right? It's not. But this is a family business, and it'll continue to be a family business. And I'm sure our family will grow, meaning outside of blood. But it takes a long time to earn trust. You know that. Most people know that. And it takes a long time for you to use the term family. And hopefully over time, as we grow, we need to add to our assets and resources. We're going to be part of a bigger family at some point.
You know, it's interesting that you bring out family outside of family, because the reason I'm wearing this delightful shirt today is it's a Christmas sweater. It says, "Go Jesus, it's your birthday." And for those people who might found it like, what is Bear wearing? I had my annual Friendsmas get together with a bunch of really close friends today, and it was much needed. As Robert and I actually talked about this a little bit before the show, I had a pretty rough early part to the day, but it's finishing off strong. But one of the attendees of this annual get together, I steal the quote from her all the time, but I always give her credit. And my really good friend Aaron Fairley says that friends are the family that we choose, and like you said, it does take time, and it takes a lot, ups and downs and everything, for them to earn that title of family. But when you have it, it truly is something special. You know, something else that you find that I think is incredibly special about Southern Draw and you and Sharon's philosophy with Southern Draw is your relationship with retailers. Now, every company has really strong relationships with their retailers, and it's very important to them. Obviously, without retailers, you know, your company's not, you know, no cigar company is going to survive too long or at all. So it's an essential part of the business. However, you've taken a really strong philosophical, if we can bring that back into the conversation, philosophical approach to really emphasize brick and mortar support. Even when you go to Southern Draw's website, when you do the age verification, because you are a tobacco product, and so we have to wonderfully punch in our age verification every time we go to your website. But above age verification, there is a really loud and important statement from you that says, be sure to support your brick and mortar support. What is it about you and Sharon's philosophy at Southern Draw that, where did that come into play as you were kind of building the foundation of Southern Draw? Why did you want to emphasize brick and mortar support so strongly?
Well, first of all, that's where we started as consumers, right? I can tell you that we went, you know, 10, 15 years where every holiday, you know, not only would they buy me something for the patio, but they'd go to a local brick and mortar and buy a cigar. I would be on the road. I've traveled tremendous amounts in my life, and I've always found a little bit of sanctuary in local brick and mortar stores. And what I find is, whether I'm in a suit and tie, a pair of jeans, or shorts and flip flop, brother, I've been treated very well for the most part, right? I probably was treated better as a consumer than I am as a brand owner, right? But you know, the perception of our statement and our brick and mortar philosophy might be misunderstood or misconstrued sometimes, because what we found over the last 5 years is we used to say this pretty simply: if you've got a retail shop and you've got a permit and you carry premium cigars, and we come to see you, and you got two chairs and an ashtray, we're probably going to talk about doing business together, right? Because it's a place where people can sit and have that connection, that conversation, and that therapy that we talked about at the opening of the show. But I think, Bear, over time, what we realized is a lot of these brick and mortars have other distribution channels, right? Let's talk about the small ones first. Small brick and mortars, a lot of them do liquor stores or country clubs or gas stations or offsite mobile events, or they go to races or they go to music festivals, you know, golf courses, whatever it may be. And then we see a lot of complaining about the larger brick and mortars having online and catalog and other things too. We treat the brick and mortars, whether it's the largest Casa de Monte Cristo or CI or Famous in the world, the same as we would the local one here in Lakeway, Texas, which is the new speakeasy. That's not always the perception, but it is reality. And, you know, brick and mortar is important for the industry, but also these distribution channels, from the smallest to the largest. We want to see everybody succeed, and we want everybody to play fair and by the rules. So our strategy has evolved a little bit over time by trying to make sure we have good relationships with the managers and the buyers and the staff, so we know what they need. We know what they turn the most of. We know how many facings they're going to offer us, and we try to make sure we can keep them in stock. We're not trying to produce a lot of cigars that can be sold online and catalog and outside that. We cherish the one-on-one relationship, whether they're calling Sharon, or I'm going to visit them, or we're at a multi-vendor event. We cherish those relationships, and we have from day one. And I hope over time people judge us on what we do, not on what they hear we're doing. I did 130 something events this year with brick and mortars, and I would have done more if I could. You know, because we enjoy it. We love to be with them, and we cherish, to use that word, we cherish those relationships. That's why excuse me. That's why we do what we do, so we can spend time with people.
I think it's very evident how important those relationships are to you. And what I mean by that is I'm going to allude to a very public statement that you made earlier this year when you had the very, and I want to applaud Southern Draw for this, Robert. I think you guys took a very, very hard decision and you handled it as well as it could be handled. You know, you decided to end a relationship with not just any account, but your very first account. For a specific reason, a philosophical reason. You know, we've been talking a lot about philosophy and mission tonight, and I definitely want to applaud Southern Draw for the effort, because it was very open and public, and for you to share that with your consumers in the way that you did was incredible, was unlike anything we've ever seen, like I've ever seen before, because what I've seen before is usually like, you know, if you walk into a retailer, like, hey, do you have brand X, you know, anymore? And like, no, we just stopped carrying it. Or no, some like just some flimsy excuse is kind of thrown out, or some, you know, very generic, or no, we don't have any, you know, or just flat out lie, no, we don't have any right now, or something like that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, some vitriol might be thrown around or everything like that. But to kind of prevent all of that and to keep everything positive, and that was the key to it. There was so positive. Even with the difficult decision that you had to make, was that something that you just consciously knew you had to do, or was it just something that was spur of the moment? Like, hey, we got to put this out there. I mean, what, I wouldn't necessarily get into the decision itself, but the decision to put it out there so much.
Oh, I think number one, I don't really deal in emotion. I'm an emotional person, but I don't deal and I don't make decisions on emotion. That was the most painful decision for us as a brand that we've made today in our history, because of the longstanding family relationship, the fact that they were the first, and we do not, and their perception of what went down and how it went down is probably different than mine. But the reality of it is, we were issued the ultimatum, and we did make the decision. The reason why we issued it publicly is to, one, acknowledge that they were important in our lives. They were important to the beginning of our brand and the support of our brand. Two, they were doing what they believed was the best for their company and their family to support it. And three, that we had to make a decision to, and I say this and I'll say it again, to mow our own grass. We have to be able to dictate our business. And we thought it was the right thing to do. Now, I'll tell you, over the next 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months, you're in DFW area, there's going to be more rumors and more BS. But in the end, it's going to be dealt with exactly the same way. And you're aware of one of those things just in a brief message that I shared with you a couple of days ago. But we will always share the facts because I don't like knitting circles. I don't like gossip. I don't like BS. I don't want people to harm our brand. It's too important to us and our relationship. But when you attack integrity and things like that, it has to be public, I think. And I don't know that I'm right or wrong for doing it. It wasn't on a whim. It was with great concern that we did what we did and how we did it. And to this day, it's still painful for us. And we hope we don't have to do that again.
No, absolutely. And again, I want to apply, because I think even right now in your words, you know, there's always two sides to a story, but you're still spinning it very positively for the end, and you wanted to make it very clear how important they were to you and to Southern Draw Cigar. So I thought that was just something that should be acknowledged, Robert. And so I from where I said, I wanted to let you know that I appreciated it for what it came from both aspects. You know, we've talked a lot about mission and philosophy tonight, and because I think that has a lot to do with your foundation as a company and everything. And one of your most recent projects had a wonderful mission behind it, and it has to do with the cigar that I'm smoking right now, and that's the 300 hands, or the 300 manos, to be specific and literal, because that's what it says on the label here. Now, I'm smoking the Habano that's available also in a Maduro as well. Now, there's been a lot of talk about this this particular line, and we, of course, were there at IPCPR 2018 where you launched it. But I would like for you to share the mission and the reason behind this line of cigars for Southern Draw.
And again, the project is 300 hands, and it just happens to be the blend that you're smoking is in is obviously in Spanish, the Tres Cientos Manos. And that was intentional, because when you smoke the Maduro, you'll see it's in English and it says 300 hands. You know, I think, Bear, for us is, from the beginning, one of Sharon's, not requests, demands was that everything we do has a charitable aspect to it. And sometimes we can communicate it. It's we don't have a lot of staff, so we don't send as many press releases and share as probably as much as we should. But everything we do has a charitable aspect. And our charities to date, whether it's the 300 Hands Project or the Ignite Project or just our general production, has been focused domestically on veterans or active duty military or homeless type charities. Or then, or something along the line of first responders, where we're working with local retailers. But for us, the 300 Hands was over the last 4 or 5 years having the joy of working. Obviously, majority of that in Nicaragua, and seeing what everybody in the process of making this cigar does for a little Southern Draw. I mean, who are we? We're a blip on the radar, but yet they've treated us the same as they would. Again, the godfathers and kings of the industry, they've treated us with great care. Obviously, the result of our growth, our products, our packaging, our logistics is all based on them. And, you know, the reality of it, Bear, they all have names. These are real people. They have a real job, a real objective on a daily basis. And those things, when they perform those roles, are what turns into our cigars and our brand. So that being said, because we hadn't really done enough, we didn't believe that just by paying for cigars and production in Nicaragua was contributing enough. Some of the workers that we've chatted with and had really open, you know, conversations said, Robert, we don't want anything more from you. We appreciate all the factories and all the industry supporting us, but we have a few pennies. And they literally put a few coins out on the table and said, we have a few coins, and if you put a few coins with our coins, we think there's some people in this community we could help. And, you know, you're smoking the cigar, so I'll just kind of pop up on the screen a couple of the cards. This comes from the project. That's Miss Elsa. And, you know, these cards come in each of those products and in the displays. And really, it's go back to the old days of a playing card, a baseball card. This tells you who these people are, that these 300 hands. They all have names. They're not... The names aren't A.J. Fernandez. The name's not Nick Perdomo or Jonathan Drew, Jorge Padron. These are people that are very humble, hardworking people that do something every day to make our life better, and we need to do something for them. So basically, the project is a collaboration between the people in and around Esteli, in the cigar industry, in the box industry, the packaging industry, contributing something locally, and Southern Draw, together with our family, together, think about it now, with our retailers that sell that cigar and the consumers that buy it, that money is going places. And not only is it going places, it's not going to a charity that has some name with administrative and overhead. It's going to people in the community that the people in this project have identified, whether it's surgeries, whether it's you know, food and clothing, whether it's repairs on houses and churches, anything and everything we can do in the community to make it a little bit better for these people. But I think the most important is nobody in this project, and over time you're going to see this project, we have 300 different interviews. So there will be 300 different names and 300 different cards and 300 different causes. So it's not a lot, but it's enough to make a difference. And what you're going to find is people are going to start learning their names. They're going to learn what they do, and they're going to learn their messages to us, and they're going to learn what in their community that they're so focused on helping, and that we're all part of that. So we're just honored to be part of it. But I think it's probably the most important thing we've ever done. And it's not in any way to take away from all the big brands and all the big industry that has always helped Honduras and Nicaragua, the DR. It's not that. It's just, we're small. We're not well-heeled. We don't have deep pockets. But when you put everybody's money together in a little bucket, you know, a little cigar box, it goes a long way. And we're just honored to do it.
I think it's an absolutely beautiful project. And the mission behind it is clear. And I think it's really tremendous that you're putting a face on the individuals who actually make the cigar, grow the tobacco, and really do the day-to-day work. You know, a lot of folks know these, you know, like you mentioned a few names just a moment ago. A lot of those names are out there and they're public and everything, but there's I'm reminded of a gentleman that I met at the Davidoff factory when I went to the Dominican Republic this past year. And I was speaking with Klaus Kellner about him, and he said that he is, if not the single most important, he's one of the three most important people in the entire operation. Mm-hmm. And his name is literally Superman. He showed us his ID. It was the greatest thing ever. And he's a quality control tobacco guy, knows everything about tobacco. That's his whole world. And he does a lot of stuff there at the factory where they depend on him on a daily basis to do quite a bit. He's not a master roller or anything like that, but his role is in the sorting, the curing, and process of all the tobacco. And he knows quite a bit about every different strain. And he said he's an encyclopedia of it. And I mean, this is a guy who's spent his entire life and it doesn't have a high school education, but you know, could write a thesis on one particular strain of tobacco. It's those guys, and there's women too, of course, as well. And it's those individuals that is just as much a part of making these wonderful cigars as you being a brand owner, as me selling it in a retail shop, as you know, master blenders as well that are, you know, are commonly known in the industry. So I think it's an absolutely fabulous project and a really, really, really great part of the mission. Are there any plans other than keeping up with production and doing these 300 interviews and anything like that? Are there any other similar projects that you have in mind that you are planning on working on, or is this kind of? I imagine this is probably taking up quite a bit of your time as it is.
I think the good thing about all this is success breeds success. So we just finished their first round of production post IPCPR for 300 hands. We do have plans to expand that project. We have hopes that other brands and other manufacturers might join us on that project or something very similar. Despite trademarks and copyrights, we don't look at it as ours, man. You know, and we'll talk about another project in a minute, but 300 hands has been an industry term forever. We just wanted to put a face to it. We wanted to put a cause to it, something quantifiable. And we do believe that as we grow this, other brands, other factories will join us on that journey. We do have plans to add to those core blends. We're going to keep it very simple, very rustic. That is because the people involved in the project had a lot to do with the rustic display and the rustic art. The colors mean something on both of those cigars. Obviously, there's a lot of simplicity in that, but that's how they wanted this story told. But we think we'll be able to harness some other resources moving forward with 300 hands. I would like to see it expand to Honduras. I'd like to see it expand to the Dominican. And again, the thing is, it may be somebody of like size and like brands as Southern Draw that aren't doing enough yet, but can. And there's obviously big brands that already do a tremendous amount of giving, a tremendous amount of charitable work. Let's not take anything away from them. We didn't have those resources. So maybe the small brands and the small companies and the small factories can help join us on this journey and, you know, try to do something similar or we'll just expand the project. That would be a real blessing, quite honestly.
That would be tremendous. There's hoping. That'd be great.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we started this year, with the Ignite project, and we didn't discuss a lot at the trade show, but the Ignite project is really being crystallized now for 2019. We have an additional charity of military military origination for certain veterans and certain challenges and services here in the U.S. But we will come back with 5 new release cigars next year from my private blend collection. They will be in Huma jars. Of course, both 300 Hands and Ignite are also sponsored by Boveda. They'll make sure everything gets there safe and in the best condition. So we want to give a little shout out to them. But we would like to see a few more sponsors jump in with us to help us expand our, you know, I used this story at an event the other day, but if you ever heard the story of stone soup, you know, you got a pot of water, one guy has a stone, and when he puts it in, all of a sudden somebody in the village has an onion, one guy has a potato, one has a carrot. And one has just a little bit of, you know, mutton left, and, you know, one has some herbs and spices. And ultimately, when everybody puts something in the pot, Bear, you got a pot of stew. And we want to create a pot of stew. And it's just humble beginnings. But I would like to see both our Ignite project expand beyond Southern Draw, not just for Cigars for Warriors, but some other foundations. And the beauty of all of this is it's a partnership between brands and retailers and consumers, all consciously buying and supporting something, and every one of us are only fielding a little bit of the financial burden, right? So it just goes further.
I love the fact that you just referenced the stone soup fable, because I read that fable when I was a young boy, and for some reason it stuck with me, and I've used it throughout my life in different circumstances, and I tell the story a lot. And when my 3-year-old son gets a little bit older to understand just a little bit more of the intricacy of it, I plan on reciting it to him. So, but I got to be honest, and it's a well known parable and well known fable, but I got to be honest, I've never heard anyone else reference it. So the fact that you just did was incredibly touching there for a moment for me, that someone does it. And it really is what you guys have started, really is that, you know, that start to something that's something that can be very special and can affect and help a lot of different people, whether it's Ignite or whether it's 300 Hands. You know, there's a great foundation that you guys have set there, and they're wonderful projects for sure. So once again, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Robert. That will be my last question and wrap it up for you, but I really, really appreciate your time this evening. I know it's Christmas time, and like you said, you've don't get to spend much time there at home, so I'll let you get some quality time with the family. And I really, really appreciate your time this evening. So thank you so much. For everyone out there, we really appreciate you, and we hope that you all out there have a fantastic, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. Next week on our 59th take, we'll be having Mr. Justin Andrews, General Cigar Company and brand ambassador for Diesel Cigars, will be on our 59th take. It'll be fantastic. Pay attention for our upcoming schedule on Facebook as well as other social media outlets. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at El Oso Fumar, and always subscribe to our YouTube channel at El Oso Fumar. As always, my name is Barry DePlessis. This was our 58th take with Mr. Robert Holt of Southern Draw Cigars. We were live from the Casa Cueva studios of Euless, Texas. And as always, we'll see you next time.